Thursday, March 12, 1987, David Forbes, Pastor, Martin Street Baptist Church, Raleigh.
Piano here. We're gonna slide on this.
Thank you. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Might we at this time, for our invocation, bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for a beautiful and blessed day in which you've given us to study, to worship, and to give you all the praise and all the glory. Father, we ask that through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you find us acceptable, and that you find us worthy in your sight today. And Father, that you bless the services here at this chapel this day. And may Jesus be exalted, that you might be glorified. And it's in his name that we pray. And might we all say amen. 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 And let us sing our morning hymn, Day by Day, number 222. Will you stand with me? And let us sing number 222.
As you recall, Dr. Forrester mentioned prayer concerns of our community. Would you bow with me now and remember these concerns as I lead us in a word of prayer? Dear God, we are your creation. You created us to glorify the holy name. You also created us to relate one with you and thus relate with each other. But God, we have broken that relationship with you, and thus we have broken harmony one with another. But through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to make that relationship one again, and thus be in harmony once again with each other. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of this and to act upon it. We know, Lord, that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We confess our sins and help us to do better to please you. We have cause to be concerned about members of our Southeastern Seminary family. God, you know that there are those among us who have hurting hearts. There are those in our family, Lord, who are experiencing sickness or are in the hospital. There are those who are experiencing death of a loved one. In your own special way, dear God, please minister to each of these needs. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. We are a people most fortunate. Help us to be thankful, Lord, and we praise you for being God. In thy name I do pray, amen. Now, if you would, please turn in the back of your hymnals to responsive reading 513. Responsive reading 513. And this is really a psalm of praise. So as I read this, please praise God actually with me. Let's not just go through the motions. Would you please stand for the reading? Praise ye the Lord. Praise him in the firmament of power.
Praise him for his mighty acts.
Praise him according to his excellent greatness.
Praise him with the sound of the trumpet.
Praise him with the psaltery and harp.
Praise him with the timbrel and dance.
Praise him upon the stringed instrument and organs. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise
Praise ye the Lord.
Our scripture for this morning will be found in the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, and we will begin reading at the 24th verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearers of his word. It gives me great honor on this chapel service at this time to introduce to you our speaker who will bring forth the message today for our chapel services. It's a very special honor for me in that, if we can say plainly, it is my dad in ministry, the Reverend Dr. David C. Forbes, Sr. of the Martin Street Baptist Church. So by way of introduction, I would like to share with you a few things about Dr. Forbes before he comes forward. Dr. Forbes is the senior minister and pastor of Martin Street Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he is a product of Raleigh, North Carolina. He is one of eight children and the son of a Pentecostal bishop, the Dr. David C. Forbes, Sr. And he earned his Bachelor of Arts degree from the University of Shaw University and his Master's of Social Work degree from Adelphi University. He has completed coursework for also the PhD degree in sociology from the University of Virginia and was awarded the honorary degree. Reverend Forbes, he came to the gospel ministry after a career of elementary school teaching and counseling and social program administration and also university teaching and consultation. And in addition to his ministerial role, he was assistant professor of research and director of admissions of the School of Social Work at Virginia Commonwealth University for some 12 years. Also, Dr. Forbes has minted a number of publications to his credit in the areas of the Black family, the Black church, organizational and development, also in the human relations. As a lecturer and a consultant, he has appeared at universities and churches and conventions across the nation. And he is in broad demand as an evangelist and church development consultant and a very blessed keynoter. And lastly, Pastor Forbes is married to the former Hazel Baldwin of Lake Waccamaw, North Carolina, and he is the father of three children, his son Jay, his two daughters, Cheryl and Denise. And after the singing of our next song, we will hear what the Lord has to say through us, through his servant, Dr. Reverend David C. Forbes, Sr.
As I lead you in song this morning, I ask that you would pray along with me that God might truly lead us by his Spirit. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. winged from earth to joys that dwell above. Lift me from weakness, mighty as thou art. Teach me to love thee as I ought to love. I ask no dreams, no passing ecstasies, no ceaseless dwelling in this veil of clay. Just send thou angel thoughts through opening skies, and take the dimness of my soul away. Teach me to feel that thou art always nigh. Teach me the struggles of the day to bear, to check the rising doubt, the rebel sigh. Teach me the patience of unceasing prayer. I ask no dreams, no passing ecstasies, no ceaseless dwelling in this veil of clay. Just send thou angel thoughts through opening skies, and take the dimness of my soul away. Oh, take the dimness of my soul away.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. To President Lally, to Chaplain Forrester, Dr. Johnson, President of the Black Forum, President Leo Lynch, Reverend Parrish, and Reverend Smith, and to my sisters and brothers in creation, good morning. It is my pleasure to be afforded the opportunity to come and to be enriched by the chapel experience here at Southeastern. I was invited here several summers ago, as it was my pleasure, along with President Lally, to preach to preachers at Mars Hill College. And I was very excited when the day approached recently, only to get up and to see snow and the cancellation of chapel. And I shared with Dr. Johnson that perchance it were an act of God that would spare you and would spare me with a humble message from the Lord. And then, with the service being rescheduled and getting up early this morning for my devotions and seeing snow flurries, to God be the glory that we are here. From the first epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the church at Corinth, the first chapter, the 18th verse following. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. During this period of Lent, you will forgive me for preaching Jesus Christ. Amen. I should, for our brief time together, call your attention to the truth of the word read, using as a organizing logo, seeing things. Seeing things. Were I to attempt in my feeble way to please the homiletician, I would proceed my brief presentation by suggesting that there is no vacuum of truth for the salvation of the world, but how easy it is for us to live our lives, as it were, compartmentalized from the penetrating truths intended for our salvation and intended for the salvation of the world. There is no need for new studies, new research, or the calling of the jury, for the verdict has already been rendered. And this period in the ecclesiastical calendar, we rehearse the facts. God so loved us that he gave his son, and his son gave his life, ransom for us. And it is by the propounding of this truth that we are saved, and that we are sent forth as messengers to the world to say the truth is there, if we would but see it and heed it, we would have everlasting life. Allow me to recount an experience that aided in my seeing the truth and finding freedom therefrom. It was in Richmond, Virginia, in my home, the living room it was, my wife at work, and I in a condition, position in the living room that would have drawn her ire, for there I was lying on the couch in the living room, feet propped up, knowing that I was wrong, but nonetheless resting between lectures. And as I lie there on the couch, I saw something that changed my understanding of the nature of humankind in the face of the truth of the cross. For there in the bay window unfolded a saga before my eyes that is as clear in my mind's eye today as it was 12 years ago. For there in the picture window was a fly attempting to break out into the sunlight, which he could see. And the fly hit the pane, trying to break out into the freedom that the sunlight suggested, only to hit a dead end wall. Oh, I watched, and please don't laugh at me, for better than an hour, the agony of this fly. Oh, he time after time hit that pane. After a while, the fly, being stunned, went into a frenzy of desperation and went over into the middle of the room and wafted back and forth and got up a big head of steam and went towards the window and fell into the windowsill. After what seemed like an eternity, the fly revives himself and, alas, flies into the middle of the room, makes his last flight towards the window pane, and falls into the windowsill dead, spending his life in pursuit of that which makes sense. It makes sense to assume that light leads to freedom. And even with my elementary understanding, I came to the conclusion, what a waste of life. If only the fly could have recognized that he died 6 feet away from the very door that led him into the living room in the first place. Oh, how comparable to us is the fly. Oh, how through the foolishness of preaching and the foolishness of the things that the Lord shows us, and yet we Homo sapiens compel ourselves against the pains of time, not recognizing that you must come in by the door. Oh yes, what I saw was not original, for the Holy Scriptures show time and time again how futile it is for us to attempt to find life and it more abundantly save going by the door. And oh, how often it becomes necessary for the Lord to facilitate our seeing some things. Oh, it starts in Genesis. Adam and Eve saw some things. They saw the loving kindness and benefits that the Lord has intended for his jewel in creation. But they saw not only the goodness of the Lord, but they saw likewise things
which obliterated and stood in the way of their walking in obedience and in the marvelous light of the Lord. Oh, Moses saw some things requiring him to look beyond the clamor, the current events, the vicissitudes of his day, to recognize that God has so ordered and architected his world and his people that we seeing can find deliverance and everlasting life. Oh, Noah saw some things. Those around him were caught up in the events going on in the other side of life, but God in every generation speaks even above the crowded ways of life. He comes through and shows us things that would set us free. David saw things. A giant against the overwhelming odds, he goes to battle, but on his way to battle, he saw some smooth things in the bed of the lake. Oh God, in using his preacher Ezekiel, had to show him some things. Bones, even in the valley, reflecting the broken, dispersed nature of his parish. But God showed that even when it looks like all is broken and all is lost, that he is still God, and that he waits, beckoning all of humanity to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, ye who are broken, ye who are confused. Oh, how easy it is for us to look at the flip side and to recognize that, yes, there are many things to be seen. A world today in which there is growing enmity and division. A world where the Catholics will fight the Irish. A world where Baptists don't always agree. A world where husband and wife are at enmity. A world where destruction threatens the very fiber of family life and relationship. Seeing things on the other side, a world where we have to sit in question as to whether or not our president and our government are truthful with us. Seeing things. A world where we sometimes wonder whether or not we are not hopelessly lost. A world where a government would dare to subject the larger part of its population to oppression and apartheid. A world where a government called the United States would put on its money in God we trust, knowing that it's in Wall Street that we trust. Seeing things. Seeing things. But thank God that he has had the wisdom to allow us to see things that would allow, that would enable us to extricate ourselves from the seamier things that we see in life. For even this season calls us to recognize that there is yet hope, that we need not be destroyed against the window panes of our existence, if only we would go over to the door. Seeing things, and during this season, we see anew and afresh the cross, the symbol of the price paid for our salvation, the symbol for hope of our world, of our lives. We see the drama on that cross, and what we see is redemption. For as we go through the period of Lent, towards Easter, the resurrection, we become familiar with humanity even as it surrounds the cross, because according to the gospel, there were those who were close to Jesus Christ, one on his left and one on his right, and we listened into the conversation, the cynicism of he who would dare say, if conditionally, if you be the Son of God. Oh, what evidence there is in this world that there are many ifers among the faithful. But thank God that there is also he who participates in the drama, who says, you are God, you are Lord, and when you come into your kingdom, Lord, remember me. I thank God for the truth that leaps to us, available to us, that frees us, that gives us cause for celebration. I thank God for the cross. I thank God for the foolishness. I thank God for the preachment that means that the human fly, David Forbes, need not fall in the windowsill of life, but to know that you and I are free because of the things that we see during this Lent season. One day, I heard the voice. 4 years ago, as a tenured professor in a state university, a pastor of a successful, fast-growing church, I heard a call to come to Raleigh, North Carolina. And I couldn't see it. I could not see abdication of tenure. I could not see moving from $70,000 salary to come and pastor a church where the committee was talking $17,000. But I went on my knees and I prayed and said, Lord, show me some things. I can talk about the foolishness of preaching. I talked to the Lord and I heard, go. Didn't make sense. Still doesn't. But I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down your weary one. Lay down your head upon my breast. And I came to Jesus, refusing to continue to hit that pain, refusing to propel myself against the immovable objects of life. I came to Jesus. As I was weary, I was worn, and I was sad, and I found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. My hope, after all, is not built in tenure. And I thank God I'm free of that 12 years of tenure. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. For on Christ, the solid rock, we must stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who returns not only at Lent, but every day of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities we have for vocation in your vineyard. Thank you, Lord, for this place of preparation of ministry. Thank you, Lord, for the preached word. And now may we go in the love and the grace of God, who is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forevermore. Let all who believe say, Amen.